is great, and he is worthy to be praised. Thank y'all so much for joining on this Sunday morning, both in person and online, as we continue our series, What to Do When You Don't Know What to Do. And as you turn in your pages of Scripture, your copy of God's Word, to that second chapter of James, help me thank God for our music staff, our media ministry. Thank you, Ronnie, for leading us, our deacon ministry, and for all of you, the body of Christ. It is so good to be here. And Nick, I see you joined us two times, man. Good to see you that. Our message today is coming from the second chapter of the letter, the epistle of James to the church. And God has a challenge for each of us. It has been my prayer this week, Shannon, that we give attentive ears and an open heart to what God is saying, not to the world, not to the community, but to his church, to you and I. And so as you read with me in the second chapter, the first verse, I want to encourage you to read it as though God has sent it to you. Because, Chuck, we know he sent the word to us, the believers. So hear the word of God in that second chapter in the first verse. It says, "My brothers, show no partiality as you hold the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory." For emphasis, let me go ahead and say that one more time. My brothers, show no partiality as you hold the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. For if a man wearing a gold ring and fine clothing comes in your assembly, and a poor man in shabby clothing also comes in, and if you pay attention, if you pay attention to the one who wears the fine clothing and say, you sit here in a good place, while you say to the poor man, you stand there or sit down at my feet, have you not made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my beloved brothers. Have not God chosen those who are poor in the world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which he has promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor man. Are not the rich the ones who oppress you and the ones who drag you in the court? Are they not the ones who blaspheme the honorable name of which you were called? If you really fulfill the royal law according to the scriptures, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing well. But if you show partiality, you are committing sin and are convicted by the law as a transgressor." It's a word of God for the people of God. And Father, as we look into your word with attentive ears, with open eyes and open hearts, we ask that you would speak directly to us, your people, that we might be challenged to look more and more like you, as so much in our nation, in our country, in our communities are divided. May your church be that place that reflects unity. May us, your church, be the very people who are Christ-like in a Christless community. May we stand as a beacon of light, that others might see us and celebrate you with us, because you are good. So bless us in this day, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. I grew up in a pretty large family. Drew, you may not know this. My grandparents really took literally that passage of Scripture that said, be fruitful and
multiply. Ronnie, you can relate to this. I mean, my grandmother had 13 kids. Kiana? You see what happens when we come together? See what happens when we come together? Grandma had 13 kids. I had a host of uncles and aunts to visit. There was never a dull moment in the LaMail family. We had great family reunions. We were able to spend the night at all of our cousins' house. This was pre-COVID. And Brother Wayne, I will never forget, because as we would spend time at other relatives' house, there were some houses that we preferred to go to than others. There was a reason for that, because some houses were a little more welcoming than other houses. We had some family members who were a little staunch, you know. They kept the plastic on the furniture. Y'all don't know anything about that. I know. You don't know anything about that. They had rooms that were decorated for nobody. Nobody went into those rooms. We didn't really care to go at those houses. But then we had those family members where they were a little more lax. They would have let you in. You can go in the refrigerator. When they said, Hazel, make yourself at home, that's exactly what they meant. They meant for you to unwind. There was no pretentious or restrictions for you to enjoy yourself while you were in the house. Unless, of course, Lee, you took it too far. See, because we were in my uncle's house, which we love. It was a wonderful bell gathering place where we were as teenagers and as cousins growing up. And this uncle normally would be, you know, he'd be great. He would be opening to all of us. He would let us do and eat and drink soda pop. And that's now I'm telling my age when I said soda pop. I'm sorry. Cola? Nope, I'm still telling my age. Let me think here. But he'd allow us to just do whatever, not whatever he wanted, but the, you know, the finer things of growing up. Now, we could play outside till the streetlights came on. Yeah. But one time he said something as we were getting a little too excited in the house. We began to run through the house. And then he said something, Pastor George. He said, "Hold on, there's no running through this house." And we looked. Like, how is it that he could tell us what to do when we've been doing what we thought we could do? I won't forget his words. My Uncle Yolan said, "My house, my rules." I'm trying to help you understand something. Yeah? You might have somebody in your family where articulated that very same sentiment to you. My house, my rules. Have you ever heard that before? I see a whole family right here just saying, "Mm-hmm, you know my mama, you know my daddy." Yep, mm-hmm. My house, my rules. Well, hear me, brothers and sisters, as you hear the word of God, as the people of God, Kim, what the Lord is saying to the believers and the body of Christ, my house, my rules. I hope you get this. Because as we look in the Bible, Connie, oftentimes we look in the Bible and we think that the Bible, for the most part, the commands were written for those folk who are not in the church. We look at it as though, yeah, I sure wish they would hear that on the outside. But the truth is, when you read the letter of James, the letter of James was not written to the community. It wasn't written to the government. It wasn't written to the nation. It was written to the believers, us, the body of Christ. And God says through his words, let me help you understand, you are my house and you are to live by my... I hope you hadn't disconnected yet. That's just the introduction. And look with me at the text. As we're challenged by the text to see everyone equally, go back with me at verse 1, where the word of God tell the people of God, even the leader, where James himself, the bishop of the first church, declares, "My brothers," he includes himself in this, that he is not excluded from this command. And I want you to realize the command. Look at verse 1. Here's the command: show no partiality
as you hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. Did you see it there? Here's a command. Show no partiality. Show no favoritism amongst those who are in the body of Christ. Show no preferential treatment to individuals who make up the body of Christ. Now, let me push it this way. Welcome everybody the same way who come into the body of Christ. I got one amen, but it's okay. I'm coming to tell you the word. Because here it is. We are challenged as believers because the reality is that God is calling us to look godly as the world is looking for hope and looking for a place of healing. They ought to find it in the church. And God tells his church, the believers, that we ought not be prejudiced, not show distinction, not be profiling those who come within this body, within this assembly. You know, profiling. You know, when somebody looks at you and judges you before they know anything about you. Profiling. When someone feels it's necessary to critique and follow you around because of what you look like to them. Profiling. Somebody judging just how sanctified and saved you are by your response in the worship experience. Profiling. When somebody sits in your seat and you give them that, you know you don't belong in that seat look. Get this. The word of God is speaking to the people of God. And Brother Harvey, you know this, that he's telling us that as we live our lives as people of God, we have to understand that the word of God is for us. It is the governing authority. This is the command that God has for you and I. And that is when we see other people, we have to understand that we ought to see them the same way God sees them. How can we call ourselves godly and we don't look at others through godly lenses? Because if we practice partiality, get this, saints, it corrupts the picture of our faith. That if we create distinctions, that one is better than the other, it corrupts the true picture. When someone comes in from the world being battered and torn by the world and they don't know God, they don't know the love of God, and then they come into the place that the people of God gather, and if they don't see the love of God, we taint the very picture of Christ's love for all humanity. Did I say all humanity? All humanity. Thank you, Drew. I mean, that's what it is. You do remember John 3:16, if you didn't tear out your Bibles. For God so loved the... You can say it at home, too, that God so loved the world, everybody, the ones on the left, the ones on the right, the ones in the middle. God loves the world, and the body of Christ ought to reflect that love to the world. It doesn't matter what side of the aisle you're on. When you're in Christ Jesus, you've been blessed under the grace of God, and when you understand how good God has been to you, how much God loves you, how much God welcomes you, you ought to welcome everybody whom God sees among you. That's the word of God. He says, show no partiality. So if you got somebody who is iced out, I'm sorry, wrong crowd. You got somebody who comes into your assembly and Bill, you caught me, no, you caught me. Come to your assembly and they're dressed fine as wine. They're dressed to the nines. They have their wealth on display when they come into the body. And then you have someone who's a day laborer, who looks like they have been toiling outside, sweaty and dirty. The text says shabby. The same word he used earlier when he uses tainted. He said, and they come amongst you. And if you give preferential treatment to the one who looks more like you,
than the one who doesn't look like you. God says through his word, that's sin. I hope you caught that. Because in the body of Christ, God is calling us to build barriers and break down, and not build barriers, I shouldn't say that. No, indeed. God is calling us to break down barriers and build bridges. I'll just listen to, find a figure if you're listening to me. That's all. Here it is. He's calling the body of Christ to be Christ-like and see everyone equally. And the way we do that first is by realizing the command. And the command is not for the world. This command is for the church. And that command is that we show no partiality. Have you ever been there before? You know, when someone tempted you to show partiality? I was there. I remember. It was in fourth grade. Fourth grade. See, Wyatt, I remember when I was in fourth grade. I'm not that far removed from it. Yeah, a long time ago. Anyway, I remember when I was fourth grade because going to fourth grade, I was going into Miss Inez LaFleur's class. Miss Inez LaFleur, she was my fourth grade teacher. She was my homeroom teacher, and she was my science teacher. And my Inez LaFleur's class, I was going into her class, and Miss Inez had one of those faces that was just set. Don't look at nobody right now. Just look at. Perhaps you had a teacher like that. That the face just didn't look like this was going to be a good school year. And that was my impression. And then it didn't help that other people were telling me, don't mess with Miss Inez LaFleur because she's mean. And listening to other people's profiled experience with Miss Inez LaFleur tainted how I went into that class. Only to discover that when I let my guards down, Miss Inez LaFleur was one of the greatest mentors in my life. I'd go to her house. We'd sit on her porch, and she would pour into me when I allowed myself to get to know her. I'm trying to just help you understand something. Satan uses all kinds of barriers to separate us and to divide us. But in the body of Christ, we have to remember that there's something greater that connects us. And it is the love of God that he has for us. So look what James says. He says, so aren't you practicing distinctions? If you're holding these strata of levels of importance amongst yourself, he says, it shouldn't be with us. From the pulpit or the stage to the seats, the reality is we're all equal in the body of Christ. There are no big I's and little U's because all of us have been saved by grace. And let me go ahead and push a little further. All of us are born in the same situation. We were born in sin, shaped in iniquity, and we're saved because of the love of God. And if God was willing to welcome you and welcome me into the body, then we too ought to be willing to welcome others into the body as well. It doesn't matter where they come from. It doesn't matter if they know the language or the culture. The reality is, if Christ can save us, then Christ can save them as well. Okay, I'm still in the Bible because he's calling us to reject any personal conduct that is contrary to Christ-likeness. What are we to do when we don't know what to do? We ought to see everyone the way God sees them, which calls us not only to realize it's a command, but we ought to make that command a part of our conduct. Our conduct. Can I press that just for a little bit? I'm going to do it anyway, you know, right? Because I got the mic and I'm on stage. I'm going to do it. I hadn't saw you in so long, so we might be here for a little while. But let me press it for a moment. Because it's one thing to say that we believe in Christ. It's one thing to carry the label of Christian. But if our lifestyle don't back up our proclamation, then guess what? We are just as empty as everyone else that is not even in the context of the church. The body of Christ is called to be like Christ. So that if no one reads the word of God, if no one else has a Bible and they see you at work, they see you on social media, they see you on your Twitter feed, they ought to see you look like Jesus Christ.
Let me go ahead and take my time with this here. Because this is what he says. He says, listen, brothers. Says, God has a special value for everyone. He says, because in verse 4, you've made a distinction amongst yourselves and you become a judge with evil thoughts. And yet it is God who gives value to the poor. It is God who gives value to the rich. Don't misunderstand this, because what James is not saying is that those who are rich do not have a relationship with God or intrinsic value. What he's using as an example here for us to understand is that we should not devalue anyone, because everyone has been made in the image of God. I need to push this a little bit, Ronnie. You got my back? All right, here it is. Everyone has been made. People like you, people not like you. Everyone has been made in the image of God. Those who we consider to be the most rejected and those we consider to be the most accepted. Everyone has been made in the image of God. And Christ, when he was on this earth, on his earthly mission, when he came to minister to humanity, he welcomed those who weren't welcomed by society. Come here, let's walk through a text for a moment. Because when you follow the ministry of Jesus Christ, he welcomed the lepers when others wouldn't welcome the lepers. When you follow the ministry of Jesus Christ, he welcomed Levi, who was a tax collector, who was stealing money from everybody else, and God welcomed him, hold on, to be a disciple. You're not with me just yet here. When he was on his earthly ministry, Jesus welcomed an adulterer who was sitting at a well. Jesus welcomed a woman who's caught in the act of adultery. You read your Bible, don't you? That Jesus, he welcomed those who society said wasn't supposed to be welcomed. And if we're not careful, Kim, sometimes we will become more like society than Christ by saying who can and who cannot be a part of the church. We ought to reject. We ought to reject those personal conducts that's contrary to Christ's likeness. But thirdly, as we hurry on, we ought to realize that's yet another command in the text. He calls it the royal command. Yeah, that's right in verse 8. It's royal because believers, saints of God, understand Jesus is our king. And as our king, he sets the standard of value for everyone. If you really fulfill, verse 8, the royal law, according to scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You are doing well. Here's a question. How are you doing? Here's the question, saints. How are you doing? At least in fulfilling the command that God has given to the church. Understand that he goes on to say, you're doing well, but verse 9, but if you show partiality, you are committing what? Come on, say it like you know it. What are you committing? Say it at home as well. That's what it is. He's talking to the saints, and he's saying, if you commit partiality, favoritism among those whom God has created in his image, it is sin. Partiality is not partial sin. And it comes with whole consequences. Did you get that? That when we say, well, at least I'm not a homosexual. At least I'm not committing adultery. At least I'm not murdering. At least I'm not, I may be a little class, I may practice classism, but at least I'm not doing what they're doing. I may be a little biased and judgmental, but at least I'm not doing this big sin. But look what Jesus said. Look what the Word of God says. He says in the Word of God, for whoever keeps, verse 10, the whole law, but fails in one point, has become accountable for all of it. For he who said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not murder. If you do not commit adultery, but you do murder, you become a transgressor of the law. What is he saying here? Is that to commit sin puts you in risk of judgment. And here's the deal, saints of God. Every day God is challenging us to grow more and more in Christ-likeness. Never get to a place where you think you've arrived in Christ-likeness. There's always some areas in our lives. I said our, like James, he includes everyone. There's always some areas in our lives where God doesn't want us to get comfortable in what is not Christ-like in our life. No, he's challenging us every single day, every moment to grow in Christ-likeness. And he speaks specifically to the church and says, if partiality is your problem, you need to confess that as sin, because that's exactly what it is, and see others the way Christ sees you. I'm done now. I'm almost done. Because finally, not only does it tell us partiality is sin. Let me illustrate it this way. It's like one time, my son Keandre. If any kid is more like me, it's probably Keandre. That's just my boy. He got his mama name, but you know, that's my boy. And one time, you know, Keandre comes into the truck, and I irresponsibly drive my truck as though I'm the only one who's going to ride in it, which means I place things. I reserve the right to place things on the seat that should be in its holding places, but it's my truck. So that's my mobile office. My wife says I live in it. I don't know, but that's my truck. And I had some CDs. Now, young people, I know you don't know what this is, but just hang with me for a moment. I had some CDs on side of my truck. And let me just go be honest with you. It wasn't the kind of CDs you thought. All right. I mean, you know, I'm just saying. I'm just being real with you. We can talk about that another day. But anyway, I had some CDs. I had some my listening music, and it was there. I had a collector's edition. You don't understand. I had the gold album of B.B. King sitting on my. I wasn't supposed to tell you that. On the passenger seat, and I was picking him up from school, and I won't forget this. He just comes from school, and he just lands himself on my CDs. Yeah, I'm talking about you. I forgave you, but I'm just saying. I won't forget this. And I heard that noise that nobody wants to hear. I said, son, what you doing, man? You got to look at where you're sitting at. And he's like, I just sat in the seat. That's really what you're supposed to do with it. But and then he gets my CD, Wayne. He said, well, Dad, it's just a little bit crack. Little bit. Just a hairline crack. See, those of us who are old school, not new school, because y'all don't know what a CD is, look it up, Google it, you'll see it. If you crack it anywhere, it's what? None. You can't super glue it. You can't tape it. It's not like old school cassettes. I'm going way back now. Some of y'all don't know this. You can't splice it and tape it and get a pencil and rewind. No, you can't. Not with a CD. No. Not with a B.B. King Gold Edition CD. He sat on it. I heard it crack. And it was useless because of one crack. Hear me, brothers and sisters. If there is one sin that you're struggling with, hear me, we are in danger of judgment because God sets the standard. And he says, it matters how you see and treat others. That's why a majority of the commandments we receive has more to do with our relationship with one another. Because in the body of Christ, he's calling all of us to treat each other better. So he closes this way, that as you follow God, as you understand his house, his rules, that you live your life to reflect the mercy that you've personally received in Christ Jesus. We're really at the end, for this is what he says. Verse 12, so speak and so act as those who will be judged under the law of liberty. For judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. But mercy triumphs over judgment. I don't know how many times I told you I was done, but now I'm really done. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Now, I don't know about you, but when I thank God that mercy triumphs over judgment, because I need mercy to triumph over judgment. Don't look at me like that, because I'm not the only one who needs mercy to triumph over judgment. When the Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life, we all need mercy to triumph over judgment, and we thank God that his mercy triumphs over judgment. Because if it was left for judgment, then all of us will be guilty and destined to damnation. But because of the mercy of God and the grace of God, because God loves us and we receive him, we have been recipients of forgiveness. And get this, the same forgiveness God has given you, the same mercy that he has extended to you, the same mercy he's extended to you, and the same mercy he continues to give to you. He's challenging us as the body of Christ to extend that mercy to others. Will you join me in welcoming the community to the church? Will you join me in welcoming those out there to know that when they come in here, they'll experience the love of God? Will you? That's a question. You're acting like this rhetorical. No, I'm asking you. Will you join me? Will you join me in connecting with neighbors who given up in the church, were disenfranchised by a church, and let them know they're welcome to be a part of the body of Christ? If you join me, let me see you stand on your feet. I can't see you at home, but if you join me, go ahead and give me a high five in the chat. Just go ahead and put the chat and say, I'll be there. I'm joining you. Because on this Wednesday, Saints of God, I want to encourage all of you to join together. We're going to be meeting at 6:45 in the park as we gather, and we want to prayer walk the communities around JV. I hope you caught that. We want to prayer walk the communities around JV. We want people to know that when it comes to this body of Christ, we see everybody equally. We welcome everybody, and we love everyone. And so, Father, we thank you, because we wouldn't know that love had not been for Christ. We thank you that it's through your love for us that we're able to love others. And if there's someone who hasn't experienced your love, I pray that today you may let it be the day where they can come to know you. Come to know of your love, your grace, that you could use us to be models of a message to the world that you love humanity so much that you gave your all that we might be saved. Now use us as your children that we might go out and shine a light that others may know of your love and know of your grace. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us online. We hope today's experience encouraged and challenged you. At Champion Forest, we are passionate about all kinds of people coming to know God, to grow in their relationship with Him and others, and then to go out and make a difference in the world. We would love the opportunity to talk and pray with you. To connect with us, just go to championforest.org/connect. And hey, of course, we can't wait to welcome you on campus, in person, on one of our locations. We'll see you soon.